Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I just wanted to say that I'll be giving the Dead Sea Scrolls to Mafia tonight, which, as you know, are the college and pro football picks for the week. We call them the Dead Sea Scrolls, which, you know, people have been looking for forever. The Quicken Loan Studios is where we're at. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Don't forget to get on PharrellOnTheBench.com for picks. Thursday night, Stanford is at Arizona State in Tempe, Denver at Arizona in the pros. Saturday, how about this one? North Carolina State and Clemson. Sunday, Carolina at Philly. PharrellOnTheBench.com has everything. Baseball, NHL, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy. Sign up today. Don't forget, episode 43 of Pharrell on the Bets, my Westwood One sports betting podcast, drops tomorrow morning at 6:30. Follow us at On the Bets, WWO, and subscribe free wherever podcasts are available, etc. iTunes, boom. And then you're in. And it runs Tuesday through Sundays, the Pharrell on the Bets podcast. Check it out, the newest episode tomorrow, number 43. All right. I just wanted to tell you a couple of things. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? Do get it all at geico.com. Anyway, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. John in Sacramento, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Scotty, how are you? Man, I had a compelling thought about the football game that was going on, but man, I am watching this full cover 0-2 count with the bases loaded, and I have just lost my train of thought.
That's all right. I'm watching it as well, and I have absolutely.
Man, how many big screens do you got on? Are you watching both games?
I am. I have both.
All right, that thing's blowing away.
I wish I had six TVs. I used to have six TVs in my studio when I was, believe it or not, at Howard Stern. And here I have two. They think less of me here than over there.
That's not true!
I just, you know, if I had six TVs here, it might be a different story. I can never understand, to be honest with you, how a sports network has two TVs when you should have, you know, like 20 TVs. How does that sound? Like, is it really that big of a deal to have like 20 TVs? I mean, honestly.
I'm being honest with you. I have three, and I'm just a simple carpenter. But That is the end of that inning, man.
That's the end of the game.
Flip the TV. I can't believe that the Green Bay Packers are not taking care of the Niners. And I don't know what the heck the Niners got going on. C.J. Beathard, is he Bobby Beathard's? When he ran into that touchdown earlier, it really surprised me, but I guess he's been watching football.
I think there's nothing surprising at all about this football game that the Packers are about to lose. I mean, what's so surprising about it? They've been getting their ass kicked all night. This guy Beathard has lit them up. And this is all you need to know about the Packers, if you ask me. Now, obviously, he could lead them back like he's doing right now. They're at the 20 of the Niners here with just under 3 minutes to go, so it looks like they're moving in, but it doesn't mean that they will. Just because they're at the 20 doesn't mean they're going to score. They haven't been able to do it all night, have they? I mean, I'm all for it. I hope they do score and we go to overtime. And then you know what will happen? The Packers will win by three and everybody will get all excited about how great the Packers are. Meanwhile, they gave up 30 points to the Niners. That's all you need to know about them. Seriously, that's all you need to know. I wanted to tell you other things that are on my mind. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with a triple header live from London. The Titans take on the Chargers. Then Tom Brady and the Patriots, coming off a thrilling win over the Chiefs, collide with Khalil Mack and the Bears, followed by a big NFC showdown between the Cowboys and Redskins. Wake up at the NFL today at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and start your full day of football on CBS. The Home Depot, more of that going on now. Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. Marquise Goodwin tonight. 4 catches, 126 yards, 2 huge touchdowns, one of them like a 67-yarder. And the Niners leading late at Lambeau. Marquise Goodwin, the player that's doing more for his team. Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot. The next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. There you go. So, Mafia, 2-minute warning. Does Rodgers put it in the end zone and tie this game or not?
Probably. Even though he's been terrible. I mean, he hasn't been terrible. The team's been terrible all game. He's putting up big numbers. I feel like this is the one he's going to come down, tie it up, and then we'll see what happens in overtime. I'm sure they'll blow it there.
So has he really put up big numbers?
363 and a touchdown. 21 of 38. Well, that was coming into this possession, so he's got it even better since. So he's over 400 yards at this point, probably.
And what do you think of the Brewers winning 4-0 tonight and taking a 2-1 NLCS lead over the Dodgers?
I mean, they're just killing it. I mean, that game that they lost the other night was like the first one they've lost in, what, like the last 12 or something like that. They've just been on a roll. They're killing the ball every chance they get.
I think that was the first time they've lost at home in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, it was. So they've just been doing an incredible job. It doesn't matter who they're playing. Doesn't matter the situation. They're just performing at their best. They're getting everyone to contribute.
Tomorrow's a must-win for the Dodgers.
Absolutely. I mean, the Dodgers came in as the favorite. They're the ones that were, you know, the favorite in Vegas, the favorite in a lot of people's minds. They're the big-money team. And the Milwaukee Brewers, who are almost like a team of misfits, you know, all these different pieces they picked up from different teams, you know, between the offseason and the trading deadline, is coming in there and just doing everything they have to do to get the win.
How about Chassin tonight? Had him eaten out of his hands. This guy's slider is just sickening. And they're only paying that guy $15 million. He had the most innings and lowest ERA of any high-priced pitcher in baseball. He really did. Over right, Arrieta, making $75 million. All these guys get paid too much money that suck. They really do. They just give these guys these giant contracts, and they don't perform. This guy makes nothing. And they got him from the Padres for $15 million, and they got a deal with this guy, and his stuff is filthy.
And that's the thing. Is that this team is a bunch of guys who – aren't the biggest of names. You know, they've become bigger names. They've performed this season, but it's not like you have, you know, some huge, this isn't like, you know, you have Mike Trout and Max Scherzer on this team. You know, you don't have Clayton Kershaw like you do in the Dodgers and some of these other guys that they have there in their batting order. This is a team of guys who just came in, you know, have gelled, who have played well together. And when the time is big, when they need a hit for them, someone steps up and gets it done. When they need a good, you know, shutdown inning, Hader comes in or the, you know, starting staff who's very unheralded has come in and done a great job. It's just a bunch of guys doing their job when it needs to be done.
All right, so I wanted to bring this up, Shep. The NBA season starts tomorrow night, and there are two really good games, Celtics and Sixers and Thunder Warriors, who seldom come out to play. That one's at Oracle in East Bay. I saw Steph Curry the other day said that the Warriors want to win another title when they're in Oakland before they move to their new digs in San Francisco. There's the touchdown to Adams.
Jim McCarthy, do you go for 2 for the win?
Wow,
do you
no.
not trust your defense enough? They say, you know what, we're not going to – I don't trust them. We need to score now.
No, they're going to kick. I said no immediately. No, they're going to kick it. And this guy, remember, this guy has been shankopotamus this year. Remember, he missed 5 field goals in 1 game. He's looked good tonight. But at any moment, he could have shankopotamus. Could this be it right here? They lose 30-29 on a shankopotamus. Yes or no?
No, he's going to hit this. He's 3-3 on field goals, 2-2 on extra points before this. I think he's going to hit it.
I got to tell you something, and it goes to what Moff was saying, Pharrell. I think you are very
he
much.
Made it.
There he goes. I think you were very much underselling this Packer team, specifically Aaron Rodgers. He's having an all-time great season, and nobody's talking about it because he's Aaron Rodgers.
Why is he having an all-time great season?
12 touchdowns, 1 interception. Against...
Isn't that, like, normal for him?
Pharrell, 12 touchdowns, one interception. That's basically on pace for 40 touchdowns, four interceptions. That's unheard of even for Aaron Rodgers.
But I'll give you this. That was a great pass that he just threw. It was so beautiful over the outstretched hands of the defender, just right over his fingertips and into Adams. I mean, just like by one half inch. That pass was so perfect. Look at that. I mean, he missed it by less than an inch.
And he's got almost 2,000 yards passing already this season.
And, by the way,
there's other guys that have those numbers.
I don't know about that, Ferrell.
Yeah, there are. Already in the NFL that have those same numbers.
So if I'm wrong, strike me dead.
Oh, I don't think he's bad. I'm not sitting here. Obviously, the guy's a badass. We know that. I'm just telling you.
Still the best in the NFL.
You know, there's some debate about that.
Who's better, Ferrell?
Than Aaron Rodgers? I think Tom Brady's better. Tom Brady's got 5 Super Bowl rings, and the guy's got 1. End of subject.
Right now.
I don't care. Right now, he went to the Super Bowl every year. This guy's been once. He won it once. The other guy goes every year. Mafia, who's the better quarterback, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
Brady.
I mean, one guy has all the hardware, all of it, and this guy will never win 5 Super Bowls. He won't even play that long. Seriously, you think he's going to win it every single year? He can't even win it now. This team right now that I'm watching right now is not winning the Super Bowl.
This isn't
Listen, they gave up 30 points to the Niners, who are clearly one of the 3 worst teams. Are they not in the NFL? Are they not?
Yeah, they are.
I don't want to hear it.
Right now,
imagine if they played a good team in this game.
His yards right now would probably put him, I'm not doing the math exactly, but it's somewhere around tied for third with Goff probably. You know, around there between Goff and Ryan, second. With 1955.
What does Breeze have?
Breeze?
Super Bowls, he's got one.
I'm talking about yards.
I'm talking about yards.
So a guy, the other day, I just saw a guy who's already got 1,800 yards. So that's 200 yards less than Rodgers. Just some guy, some no-name guy I just saw had 1,700 yards already. I was doing it on my podcast.
Breeze has, he's low right now. He is down to 15th. He's got 1,658.
All right, so are you looking at the stats of every guy in the league for yards?
Yes. Ferrell, you can't – first of all
– okay, I got to see this. Passing.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Chef.
You can't fault him.
Roethlisberger, Ryan, Goff, Cousins, Mahomes, Watson, Luck. Do those guys all have more yards than him?
No, well, they did coming into this game. He started at 1,572, and now he's got another almost 400 yards here.
You cannot fault him for playing for, in my opinion, an average coach, a botched special teams when he should have gone to that Super Bowl.
Listen.
Remember when Seattle lost to the Patriots? That should have been their year. And you can't blame him because he hasn't had the coaching nor support that Brady has had around him.
I'm not blaming anyone. You are. You're the one bringing up all this blame. All I'm telling you is this is a real simple argument that you're going to lose. It's real simple. You're going to lose this argument because one guy is the greatest quarterback that many people believe has ever lived. They even think he's better than Joe Montana, Mafia, who went 4-0 in Super Bowls and, like, threw no interceptions. And they still think that Tom Brady's better than him. They literally, he's God's gift to football. And you're telling me, you're going to sit here and tell me, you're going to just, what you're doing is one of your usual insanity moments where you just ramble on and on about how you're right, but you're so wrong, it's not even funny. I think Aaron Rodgers is great. Tom Brady's better. Tom Brady has done it all, so has Rodgers, once. This guy's done it 5 times, okay? 5 times. The other guy, I mean, so Eli Manning's done it twice. Ben Roethlisberger's done it twice. They aren't even allowed to be in the same neighborhood with Tom Brady when you mention quarterbacks. You're not allowed to come to the picnic. You're not even invited. You have to have a family member sneak you in through a back door to get you to that party because you suck compared to Tom Brady. Now you're telling me this guy's better than him with his 1 Super Bowl? I'm just not buying it. No one else is either. He's great, but he is no Tom Brady. And I hate to say it because I wish to God you were right because I can't stand watching Brady go to the Super Bowl every year. It makes me want to vomit. I don't even want to hear it. But I'm not stupid. And Mafia is backing me up, so it's called 2-1, you lose. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. The great Fish is back. Brian Fisher from NBCSports.com to talk college football. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing fantastic.
All right, so a lot of games I want to talk to you about. So what did you think of LSU kicking Georgia's ass? That changed the playoff picture.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, LSU has a game plan every single week, and that's that they want to play good defense. We know Dave Aranda getting paid millions of dollars, and he's got a great defense that they can rely on. They want to run the football, and they just need some key throws as the game goes on from Joe Burrow. They got that in that game against Georgia, and you know, I think for the Bulldogs in particular, that was a game, especially going in at halftime down 16-0. Where that leadership from last year, the Nick Chubbs, the Roquan Smiths of the world, could have kind of rallied that team and gotten them back in that game, but they don't have those guys. I don't think they have anybody kind of stepping up to fill that void. And for Kirby Smart, now you've got a little bit of a quarterback conundrum on your hands as well, going forward in this very vital month in that college football playoff race.
Who do you like, Fields or Fromm?
You know, I think earlier in the year, it looked like they kind of had a plan for Justin Fields to come in there, have a package of plays, and really kind of understand and develop his role. And I think they went away from that. I think Jake Fromm did play well before coming into this game, and the coaches just kind of went away from it. And I think that was certainly a mistake. You want to be able to give defenses something else to think about, and I think that was the whole point of in playing Justin Fields earlier this year. And I think if you're Kirby Smart, you got to continue to develop that package, because no matter what Jake Fromm, even if he's your guy under center, you want to be able to have another guy just to give something, you know, defenses to prepare for.
So what do you think of and there's the field goal that wins it for the Packers, 33-30. So after messing around with the Niners all night, they win the game by 33-30. I thought the Niners played great, and Rodgers stole that one at the end, tying it with a great touchdown pass to Adams and then moving down the field and getting the field goal. We're talking to Brian Fisher of NBCSports.com about college football. Pat Narduzzi, the job that he's done at Pitt in big games and upsets, they almost did it again. They were winning 14-12 against Notre Dame, but booked through that great touchdown pass late in the game to win it for the Irish. But Pitt gave them fits.
Yeah, and I think for Notre Dame, obviously, to have a special season, and it looks like there is developing one in South Bend, you've got to be both lucky and good. And I think they showed both sides of that against Pitt. I mean, Ian Book leads the nation in completion percentage. He's been really I think the guy that gives them a chance to make it to the playoff in the end and run the table the rest of the way. But the Irish defense, again, coming up big in that game as well. And in such a weird weekend for college football, I think if you're Notre Dame and you look back at that score, you just go, hey, survive in advance and keep going on. Because every team throughout the college football season is going to have those close calls, even if it's against a bad team. And I think for the Notre Dame fans, they're just comfortable gutting out a win like that.
So what did you think of West Virginia and Greer getting whacked in Ames by Iowa State?
Yeah, I mean, you know, really since Big 12 play kind of started, West Virginia, after that big hot start, you know, they kind of just slowly started to look not quite hitting on all cylinders offensively. And I think going into Ames, I mean, that is a difficult place to play in on the road at night. You know, that was really just a combination of factors there, I think, for West Virginia to slip up. And, you know, give credit to Iowa State. Matt Campbell, a terrific coach. He gets his guys ready to play, really ekes, you know, the most out of that talent in that program. Brock Purdy was phenomenal again. And I think for Iowa State, that used to be a game that a lot of people viewed as a gimme. That is no longer the case for any Big 12 coach around there. You know, they've got to take the Cyclones team seriously. No matter what week it is, and this week it was West Virginia's turn to get the upset.
Brian Fisher with us, NBC. What did you think of Oregon winning in overtime over Washington?
Well, you know, I think if you go back a couple of years, even when they were rolling under Chip Kelly, this is a game that they don't really win because they were not stout in the trenches. They were not stout on defense. But that's kind of changed. Not only last year, kind of the building blocks set under Willie Taggart, but really since Mario Cristobal has taken over full time up there in Eugene, he has made it a point that that team wants to be tough in the trenches. They want to be physical with you on defense, and I think that paid off against a very good Washington team. That you know, let's face it, they missed that kick at the end. they had their chances. And I think for Oregon, it was kind of the flip side of what happened against Stanford. You know, that they got caught a little bit of a break, and then they really made the other team punish for their mistakes, because this is a very good Oregon team. They've got a surefire first round quarterback in there in Justin Herbert, but the other guys, the offensive line, the skill position players, the guys on defense, that's what really has been the area of growth over these last couple of weeks. And I think that's the encouraging thing if you're a Ducks fan going forward.
So the other one, I mean, there's so many great games. Michigan State's win in Beaver Stadium was huge in Happy Valley.
Yeah, and I think, you know, coming into the season, that was a type of win that we kind of expected Michigan State to have, just because of all those returning starters. They just hadn't put it together for four quarters, you know, this season. And I think, you know, give credit to Mark D'Antonio. You know, he took a few chances down the stretch there. You know, that team still believed that they could win the football game, and they made the big plays when it counted. And you know, Felton Davis, I think they finally realized, look, he's our go-to guy, and we're going to have to keep going to him time after time after time and make the opposing defense stop him. You know, terrific win for them, and really shakes up kind of that Big Ten race for who might be that second place in that division.
What did you think of Michigan finally kicking someone's ass that was good in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think this was a little bit of a cathartic victory for the Wolverines, just not only because it was against Wisconsin and a top 15 program coming in, but I mean, Shea Patterson, that was the kind of performance that you know, Michigan fans wanted to see and expected out of him. I think when he, you know, was declared eligible earlier this year, you know, when that offense is able to get some big plays with that defense that Don Brown has, you know, there might not be a team in the Big Ten that can beat them. And I think it just makes them look so much more dangerous when you're talking about not only this weekend against the Spartans, but, you know, coming up, you know, against, you know, Ohio State in a couple weeks. And that's the one that everybody has circled. Now you look at them right now, it's a lot more dangerous of a team if they can get that offense rolling.
Virginia beat Miami. What'd you think of that?
Oh, you know, shocking at this point. And I think more so just because of as much progress as Bronco Mendenhall has made with the Cavaliers down there, you know, Miami just has not looked quite right offensively. And I think the puzzling decision that Mark Richt made to go back to Terry Rozier in that game a little bit early. I know Nikosi Perry had those early turnovers, but, you know, the consistency on offense just has not been there at all for Miami. As much as the turnover chain and that defense can come up with the big play and the timely big play when they need it, just not quite putting everything together this year. And as a result, I think it just kind of compounds the fact that outside of Clemson, and we'll see about NC State this weekend, the ACC just isn't that great this year.
So who do you think wins that NC State-Clemson game?
I still go with the Tigers in this one. I know that the Wolfpack have kind of had their number, and they've had their chances the last couple of years. I do like Ryan Finley at quarterback, and you know, they've got some weapons out on the perimeter that can really test that inexperienced secondary for Clemson. But you know, Dabo Swinney at home, you know, big games. He always gets his guys fired up, and I think because of that defensive line that they can throw at you, you know, you can do so many different things in the back end in terms of confusing coverages and all that. I think they're still going to be able to run the ball and really take the pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. I think this is a pretty convincing win for Clemson when that all is said and done. But you know, I would imagine at least in the first half, NC State gives it a little bit of run before Clemson kind of takes over down the stretch.
Lastly, Ohio State and Purdue at Ross-Ade and West Lafayette this Saturday night as the primetime game on ABC. Can Purdue hang with Ohio State? They've been playing a lot better in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big test for that Ohio State defense. And let's face it, they have not been great this year, and especially when it comes to giving up that big play. And that's what, you know, Purdue is really consistent on offensively. I mean, David Weil can beat you over the top. They've got guys on the outside that can make you pay down the field. And I think if you're Purdue, if you can hit on three or four of those, if you can keep it close going into the, you know, late third quarter, into the fourth quarter, you know, you can make things really interesting in that game. I still think Ohio State's offense is just so much better than what Purdue can throw out there defensively that even if this is turns into a little bit of a shootout, I still trust the Buckeyes in this one. And I think it's going to be a big big progress, benchmark essentially, for that Buckeyes defense. If they really want to be taken seriously in the college football playoff race, they've got to clamp down on those big plays in a game like this.
Brian, great stuff. Always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
855-212-4CBS to get on the bench. Darian in Colorado Springs is beautiful there. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, hello?
How you doing? You're on.
Oh, hey, how's it going, Pharrell? I love your show, man. I love listening to you. You're great.
Thanks, bro.
Love your takes.
Thanks, man.
But I do have one take of my own that might surprise you. I think Aaron Rodgers is slightly better than Tom Brady.
Why? And, why?
Hear me out, okay. So Tom Brady is a system quarterback that can sit in the pocket real well and make reads to where Aaron Rodgers can do that, but also expand the game to where he can move out of the pocket, hit people on the fly with the knee brace on.
All right, so tell me this. Let me get this right. So one guy is just a pocket passer, so his game is limited, is what you're suggesting to me, and not so many words.
Slightly.
Okay.
Slightly.
Okay, okay. So how is it then that he just stands in a pocket and then wins five Super Bowls? Five Super Bowls. And then let me ask you this, too. Let me throw this on top of that.
Okay.
Every single year, he is given an entirely new roster. I mean, it's almost like every guy has been replaced. He's never had the same team once. He just constantly, they're just moving pieces one after the next every season. He doesn't just play with the same guys, and he just still, it doesn't matter who they put in there, he still goes to Super Bowls and wins them.
And the answer to that to you, Pharrell, is system. He's in a perfect system to where these guys go in and out in a system.
All right, so if they're so, so in other words, Rodgers is doing all of this on his own because their system is so bad in Green Bay. You're making no sense to me at all. So I have to say this. He also won the game last night by running the ball in from 5 yards out. So he also can't run either, but he ran for the winning touchdown. Listen, you and Shep should go out for some soup and talk about how great Aaron Rodgers is, because he is great, but he's not better than that guy.
No soup for you.
It's simple. This is not some sophisticated, it's like you're talking about the offense. He's in a system. No, he's great, and they're in a system. How's that sound? They're in his system. His system is what wins. His arm is what wins. His smarts, his vision, his reads, his looking off receivers and then hitting guys. It's simple. To me, you could argue till the cows come home, and I'm still going to say one guy has five Super Bowls. I don't care who he plays with, and the other guy has one, and I don't care who he plays with. It's simple. If he's so great, how come he's only won once? And then you're going to blame all the other players, right? Okay, well, then I'm going to blame all the other players that don't matter on the Patriots that he still wins with. They don't even matter. Like, he's got so many guys, Hogan and all these other guys. They don't even matter. They don't even matter, and he still wins. It does not matter who they put in there because he's so great. Listen, the last thing I want to do today is spend my entire day talking about Tom Brady. I want to stick my eyeballs out of my face and step on him with my tennis shoes, okay? I don't want to talk about this guy all night, but he is better. That's it. I mean, there is no one on the face of the earth that works in the NFL that is an insider in the NFL, like an executive. If I did a survey right now, I'm sure there'd be people that would pick Rodgers. But at the end of the day, I think the heavy decision would be made on if every person in the NFL was asked a simple question, who's a better quarterback, Tom Brady would win. And you know why? Because they would say he's got five Super Bowl rings. That's it. These guys play for two reasons. Really, one, money. And allegedly rings. They are judged by rings, not by money. Because Aaron Rodgers is making more money than Tom Brady. But it's you're judged by your rings, right? That's it. That's it. That's all they ever talk about. When you are in the NFL and you are finished playing, you will be considered allegedly, possibly, for the Canton and the Hall of Fame, right? And when you're judged for the hallowed halls in Canton, it's all about numbers. It's all about stats, right? and it's all about rings, and it's all about MVPs and everything else. And that guy has got more than anyone. So that's that. End of subject. There's just, it's to me, it's like, it's a ridiculous argument even. It's night and day. I mean, if the guy won another one, I'd be like thrilled for you in this argument. But he's got four more to win before he catches this guy. This guy, Brady, will go down as the greatest quarterback who ever lived. And he was a sixth-round draft pick. And he was fat. He had, like, baby blubber. He was nobody. No one thought anything of him when he was in Michigan. They really didn't, right? No one ever thought he was going to be a superstar. No one. And they have somehow been able to manipulate that situation into multiple Super Bowls. I mean, they've won five. They've been to, how many have they been to now, Mafia? Like 11 times they've been to this thing? I mean, it just, I'm so sick of it.
Brady's eight.
What?
I'm pretty sure Brady's been there. Him specifically, I think he's been there eight. I think he's 5-3.
Right. And but in the franchise been
11.
Multiple. 11. I mean, that's insane. The fact that he's played in eight Super Bowls is crazy. It's almost like the Pharrell Ballers. We've played in, I think, it's 13, right? It's 13 finals. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We're 8-5 in championships.
Who's the Tom Brady of that league?
Oh, well, it isn't me, but...
Well, Pharrell, by the way, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. You can't make an argument that Rodgers, Brees, Favre, Manning, any of those guys can hold a candle to Tom Brady. You get no argument from me or anybody with a brain there. All I think that people are trying to say is...
Is that Aaron Rodgers is better.
No. Oh, okay, Pharrell.
That's what you're trying to say. Okay, there's no other way of looking at it.
Quick question for you. In 93... when the Niners got rid of Joe Montana and sent him off to the Chiefs, right?
Right.
Can you make an argument that at the time it made sense because Steve Young, based on age, based on wear and tear, was better at that particular time, even though nobody in their right mind would say that Steve Young was as good as Joe Montana overall legacy-wise?
So let me get this straight. You're asking me, was Steve Young better than Joe Montana?
When they got rid of Joe Montana, I believe it was 1992.
Right.
No,
he wasn't better.
Okay, so they made a mistake?
I don't know if they made a mistake because Joe Montana was clearly at the end of his rope. So I think that there was, hang time there, and it was time to make a change. The writing was on the wall that it was going to happen. It was inevitable. So this happens all the time. Same thing with Rodgers and Favre. The writing was on the wall. And now you're going to see that with this Eli Manning. The writing's on the wall. It's just, he's finished. People, they're going to still try to sell you this garbage in New York that he's still got game left. I don't think there's even a fan left that thinks he's got game left.
Right.
And there's certainly no media people that think he's got any game left. No writers, no one that covers that team for a living thinks that he's got any game left.
But he's not in that Rodgers-Brady conversation.
No.
He's not even close
He's not
to
even, but he's got two Super Bowl rings, and he beat Tom Brady twice. The guy will live in infamy. I don't care what anybody says. He'll live in infamy because he beat Tom Brady. Brady lost three Super Bowls, two of them to the same guy. I mean, that is crazy. That guy, I guarantee you that Tom Brady has nightmares. At the end of his bed, he wakes up and sees Eli Manning eating potato chips with Giselle in the corner of the room. Trust me. He has nightmares about Eli Manning. He's beaten everybody, but he never beat him. And then what's even worse is that, like, not only did he lose two Super Bowls to him, he, like, has lost other regular season games and preseason games to him as well. It's like they're the kryptonite, right, for the Patriots. But it is what it is. You can't even compare the two. But he beat him twice, so he'll live in infamy. The funny thing is that guy is being crucified right now in New York for his performance, right? And deservedly, he's been atrocious. But it's hard to do it to someone, in my view, that has done what he's done and what he's accomplished. Because in his prime, in his best years, he won two Super Bowls against Tom Brady. It does not even matter what he does right now. He's getting ripped to shreds by people that are so stupid. They don't know whether they're coming or going because they're living in the now, which I'm okay with. But you cannot ignore the past and what he accomplished. And people want to do that because they're so mean and vicious now. And social media has become the new way of the world, and people go online and they attack people, me or otherwise, him, you. People attack everything, politics, church, religion, you name it. Everything. All you have to do is go on there. If you go on there during the day, it's like crack. You just keep doing it all day. You'll sit on Twitter all day if you let that happen to you. I don't really let that happen to me. I mean, I won't deny I go on it and do some things on it, but I don't sit there and spend all day, and I certainly don't tweet all day. You never see me tweeting very much. It's just to promote the show or to promote, Pharrell on the Bets or Pharrell on the Bench, either or. It's pretty much what I do. But you don't ever see me doing political stuff. You don't ever see me doing even sports, really, opinions that much, because this is just me. I'm just saying, I think people that sit on there all day and spew all of their thoughts about everything in sports and everything in life, and they just never stop tweeting things, and there's a lot of people around here that do that too. They just never stop tweeting. I think they're all idiots. I think you look like an idiot. That's all you do in your fat life is sit around tweeting about everything that comes through your fat face. It makes me sick to my stomach that people think that anyone wants to hear from you. Like, no one wants to hear from me all day. Is there anything worse than my painful, gravelly-ass voice all day long grating on your face? There's nothing worse. I am literally painful. But is there anything worse than a guy that's painful that knows it, and then he still spends another 12 to 15 hours a day tweeting every innermost thought that comes through his skull? There's nothing worse. And there's people here to do it all day. They never stop tweeting their stupid opinions about stupid things. Like every game, every pass, every coach, every quarterback, every game, every sport, every day, every slap shot, every defenseman, every game. It just, oh my God, shut up. Just stop yourself. Because you know what? There are smart people out there like me that sit there and go, you're an idiot. And you look like, it's even worse listening to you tweet all day. How about these guys that never stop? They just can't stop listening to themselves. At least I know I'm painful. I know my family can't stand me. My dog bites me. Mafia drives me. He wants to stab me in the face. Shep can barely take it once a month. But you don't see me tweeting all day because I give everyone a nice little reprieve from all my wonderful thoughts spewing in my mind.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.